have the apostolic church. Here we have the persecuted church. Here we have the exalted church. Here we have the apostate church. Then we have the church of Sardis, which is dealing with the Protestant Reformation, the so-called Protestants. Filtered Philadelphia, the great Advent movement, the great Millerite movement that was all over the world warning that Jesus would come. We talked about that last night a little bit. We talked how the Bible teaches that 1844 was the opening of the judgment. And during that same year, there was people from all over the world, all different denominations, teaching the hour of God's judgment has come. And the reason why, for those of you who are new, the reason why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, because this is the only church in the world that teaches these time prophecies. It's the only one. If there was another one, that I'd leave this church and go somewhere else. It's the only church that's able to identify the opening of the judgment on 1844. And then we have the Laodicean church in the end of time. The lukewarm church where Jesus is about to spew out of his mouth. Now let's go through this quickly. Let me just give you a brief crash course lesson. Which kingdom was in power during the early part of the history of the churches? When the apostolic church began, what kingdom was in power? Pagan Rome.
Roma pagana.
Pay attention. You have pagan Roman power.
Roma pagana del poder.
By the time you get down to the Church of Thyatira, what power takes over pagan Rome?
Para el tiempo de Teatira, ¿qué otro reino empieza a reinar?
Then you have the history of the papacy.
La historia del papado es cuando empieza.
Yes or no?
Yes. Sí o no.
Then what power, according to Revelation 13, takes over the power of the papacy and is also found in the time period of Philadelphia and Laodicea?
Ahora, ¿qué otro poder en el Apocalipsis toma el poder de...
What nation becomes the world superpower?
¿Qué otra nación se convierte?
Where did the Philadelphian church develop?
Cuando la iglesia...
The United States of America. Pay close attention, friends. And by the time you get down to Laodicea, this affects the entire world. It's the worldwide.
Cuando llega el tiempo de la Odisea, es todo el mundo.
This history repeats.
Esta historia se repite.
When you come down to the political history of the church,
cuando llegas al tiempo de la política,
what kingdoms do you think you're going to find during this time period?
¿Qué reinos crees que vas a encontrar también?
Pagan Rome?
Roma pagana.
USA.
The papacy? And then when you get to the sixth seal,
cuando llegas al sexto seal,
after the Lisbon earthquake, you have signs in the heavens.
Después del terremoto de Lisboa,
where do those signs take place? The dark day, the bloody moon, the falling of the stars. The United States of America, right?
Yep.
How many of you ever been to Alabama?
¿Cuántos han ido a Alabama alguna vez?
Anybody here? I remember for the first time I was driving across country with my wife.
This is back
years ago. And we were playing a game because we were so bored. We were trying to count license plates and trying to find how many states we could find. And as we were driving through Alabama, I was looking at the license plate. And does anyone know what it says on the license plate in Alabama? You know, everyone has a logo, right? Florida is the Sunshine State. And, has a, you know, oranges there. North Carolina is the Wright Brothers, has a plane on it. California is the Golden State. Does anyone, New York, we live in New York, it has on the license plate the picture of Niagara Falls. Does anyone know what's on the license plate of Alabama?
¿Saben lo que está en las placas de la licencia de Alabama?
Stars.
Estrellas.
And it says on the bottom of the license plate,
en la parte abajo de la
it says
placa.
Stars fell on Alabama.
Dice, las estrellas cayeron en Alabama. Ahí dice.
It was a song
una canción.
In commemoration of this great event when the stars fell.
Conmemorando el evento de la caída de estrellas que habla en la Apocalipsis.
And so the final end of the sixth seal and then into the seventh seal affects the United States of America and then it'll affect also the world.
El último de los sellos afecta al mundo, a Estados Unidos y luego al mundo.
And what about the trumpets?
¿Y qué tal las trompetas?
Remember, trumpet symbolizes military history, battles and wars.
La trompeta significa... simbolizando militar.
We're going to have the same history of the same powers.
Vamos a tener los mismos representando los mismos reinos.
But here's the twist.
Pero aquí está el, la diferencia.
Pay close attention.
Pongan atención.
These trumpets,
estas trompetas,
are going to spell the downfall of these kingdoms.
Van a representar la caída de los reinos de arriba.
These are the battles and wars that overthrow these major world kingdoms. You understand this?
Estas son las batallas que derribaron los reinos de este, del mundo.
We're going to find out that under the first four trumpets,
vamos a darnos cuenta que durante las cuatro trompetas,
pagan Rome in the west is going to come collapsing down.
Roma pagana en el oeste se derrumba.
What was the next power?
¿Cuál es el siguiente poder?
The papacy took over the West.
El papado tomó parte del occidente.
And Rome still had a capital in the East in Constantinople.
Y Roma todavía seguía en el oeste, en el este, en Constantinopla. Se ve dividido.
Now remember, repetition and enlargement. There's more detail in the last one.
Es repetición y expansión de lo que estamos viendo.
Under the fifth trumpet,
bajo la quinta trompeta,
we're going to find Rome or Constantinople collapse.
Vamos a ver que Roma y Constantinopla collapsan.
And by the sixth trumpet, you're going to see the papacy come down.
Y bajo la sexta trompeta, el papado cae también.
Now, what kingdom did you have in the end of these churches and in the end of the seals?
¿Qué reino viene en el final de las trompetas y de todo?
Which one?
U.S.
So, how many of you believe that God is consistent?
¿Cuántos creen que Dios es consistente?
Does God change?
No. Dios cambia.
No.
No.
Malachi chapter 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? If it's pagan Rome here, pagan Rome there, it's going to be pagan Rome here. If it's the papacy there and the papacy there, it's going to be the papacy here. If the United States of America is there, the United States of America is here, then what do you think is going to be affected in the seventh trumpet time period? The United States of America is going to be affected, and the world will be affected by the events that will transpire under the seventh trumpet. Does everyone have that so far? How much time do we have left? What time do we have to end? Is it, doesn't matter. Well, some matters to some people. Doesn't matter to me, but those of you who know me, you know it doesn't matter to me. I keep on just talking until my voice dies. Here's what I'm going to do, all right?
Look what we have
to. I'm going to, we may end up taking this these meetings a little bit different because I don't want you to forget the information that you've already learned.
No quiero que se olviden de lo que han aprendido.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring out a few more points and then we'll just take a break and then come back for part two. Is that all right?
Vamos a tomar un par de puntos después.
Okay, does everyone have that? Can I erase that?
¿Puedo borrarlo ya para los que lo escribieron?
No, no. Not yet.
¿Todavía no?
What we're going to do right now,
lo que vamos a hacer ahora,
is just look at a few quotations regarding the trumpets.
Vamos a ver unas citas con referente a las trompetas.
And then we're going to go to the book of Revelation just to start, and maybe I'll come back and, I don't know, how many of you want to finish this up now? How many of you want to take a break and just, and do another part? Which,
¿cuántos quieren terminar esta parte y luego tomar un descanso?
You're all nodding your head. Let's finish this first part? All right, let's just finish it. All right, let's go. Let's now turn to Revelation chapter 8.
Apocalipsis capítulo 8.
Part number 1 is really not that long, okay? We're going to go through this first part quickly, and then we'll come back and go more detail for the other trumpets. I want to get past the first four trumpets. It's very quick, all right?
Vamos a hacerlo rápido.
Okay, I'm going to erase this.
Voy a borrar esto.
You're turning to Revelation 8, and I'm going to erase this right now.
Apocalipsis 8.
And the reason why I want to go ahead and draw this bigger on the board.
La razón que quiero hacerlo más grande.
Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Covering from the time period of Rome,
el tiempo de Roma, cubriendo,
down to the second coming.
hasta la segunda venida.
The first four trumpets, we're going to find pagan Rome come down.
Las primeras cuatro derriban a Roma pagana.
Pagan Rome in the west.
A Roma pagana en el oeste.
All right. Under the fifth trumpet,
bajo la quinta,
Rome in the east in Constantinople is going to be affected and come down.
Roma en el este y Constantinopla también va a caer.
The papacy is also being affected during this time as well.
También el papado es afectado durante este periodo.
Papacy in the west comes down.
El papado en el este
sixth trumpet.
Cae también bajo la sexta trompeta.
Seventh trumpet affects the United States of America. Specifically the woe, which we'll talk about later on today. So let's now go into this in Revelation chapter 8. Let's look at some quick Bible symbolism. I don't have time today to go into all the details of the seven trumpets. We have a DVD series on it that goes a lot more in detail regarding different interpretation principles. Revelation chapter 8, let's begin now in verse 2. That's where the trumpets begin. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 is simply wrapping up the vision of the seven seals. Verse 1 actually belongs with the previous vision.
El versículo 1 realmente tiene que ver con los sellos.
Verse 2 actually begins the trumpets. Let's pick it up now in verse 2. We're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 13. Or excuse me, 2 through 13. Are we all there together, friends? Amen. The Bible says this. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I want you to just make a quick note about that. And that is when the angels are given the seven trumpets,
cuando los ángeles les son dado las siete trompetas,
Christ is still making intercession in the holy place at the golden altar of incense, right?
Cristo está en el santuario en frente del altar del
Now, this is important for those of you who may have heard a false teaching. And there are some people that are putting the trumpets off in the future.
Que ponen las trompetas en el futuro.
And they're putting the trumpets at the time of the close of probation, along with the plagues. But that contradicts Scripture right there, because
eso contradice la escritura, porque aquí lo que vemos,
the Bible says in verses 2 and 3 that when the seven angels are given the seven trumpets, the angel, which is Christ, the angel of the covenant, is making intercession at the golden altar, which is in the holy place of the sanctuary in heaven above.
Lo que enseña es de que vemos a este ángel que se le da el incensario, y vemos a los siete ángeles que se le dan las trompetas, y el ángel está haciendo intercesión.
So based upon these scriptures, I want to ask you a question. There are some people that have been hearing this, in this room, have been hearing this. So according to these scriptures,
de acuerdo a lo que leímos,
are the trumpets in the future after the close of probation when there's no intercession going on?
¿Están en el futuro cuando ya no hay misericordia?
Or are the trumpets being blown while there's intercession in the sanctuary?
O cuando se están tocando,
okay?
Cuando todavía hay...
So they can't be in the future, they have to be in history, okay?
No,
it's very clear.
En el futuro, tienen que estar en la historia.
Now let's pick it up right here in verse 6.
Versículo 6 otra vez.
And this, anyway, I can go on. I'm just going to stop right there. Okay, verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Now, this is obviously full of Bible symbolism.
Esto tiene mucho simbolismo de la Biblia.
Let's just notice a few things quickly.
Vamos a ver un par de cosas,
because we want to try to get through this like in the next 10 minutes, okay?
Vamos a cubrirlo como en 10 minutos.
Turn quickly to Job chapter 38.
Job, capítulo 38.
We'll notice that this hail that's coming down, this hail, fire mingled with blood, represents these battles and wars.
Vemos que este granizo y fuego que caen representa guerras.
Just come very quickly to the book of Job, chapter 38.
Job, capítulo 38.
And we're going to look at verses 22 and 23.
Versículos 22 y 23.
Job, chapter 38, verses 22 and 23. Notice what the Bible says.
Versículo 22 y 23 de capítulo 38.
The Lord asked Job a question.
Dios le hace una pregunta a Job.
He asked, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against a time of trouble, against a day of battle and war? So this is obviously some battle and war that's taking place where this hail is symbolized.
Cuando cae el granizo representa hay guerras en sí que
está. It's interesting also to notice that hail is something cold which comes down from the northern areas of northern climates.
Sabemos que el granizo cae en los lugares del norte, donde hay frío.
Now, something I want to bring out is if you'll notice in this chapter something interesting.
Lo que vemos, algo interesante en este capítulo,
is that it talks about the symbolism of a third of this and a third of that, and a third of this, right?
Un tercio de eso, un tercio del otro.
Which, by the way, is another clue that it can't be at the close of probation, because at the close of probation, seven last plagues affect everything, not just a third.
Y es un hecho de que enseña de que no puede estar en el futuro, porque
now,
en el futuro es total.
What kingdom is this dealing with? Number one, what kingdom is it starting out with?
¿Qué empieza, con qué reino empieza?
Pagan Rome. So we have to look at history. So here it talks about this pagan Rome, this kingdom is divided into thirds, right?
Este reino de Roma pagana se divide en tres partes.
So let's now look at history. When was Rome divided into thirds?
¿Cuándo fue que Roma se dividió en tres partes?
Okay. How many of you ever heard of an emperor named Constantine?
¿Cuánto han escuchado a Constantino? Okay. ¿Lo han escuchado?
Constantine the Great, this is actually a fulfillment of time prophecy in Daniel chapter 11. Constantine moved his capital from Rome in the west to Constantinople in the east.
Constantino movió su capital de Roma a Constantinople en el este.
In the year 330 AD.
En el año 330 antes de Cristo.
After he, después de Cristo. During this period of time,
durante este periodo de tiempo,
Constantine also divided his kingdom among his three sons.
Constantino dividió su imperio con sus tres hijos.
And here are their names if you're writing down notes.
Si quieren escriban sus nombres.
It was Constantine the Second,
Constantino II,
Constans,
Constantio,
and Constantius.
Y Constantio.
Think this guy had a pride problem? And then he named a city after himself too, Constantinople. I guess he really liked himself a lot. So in other words, the first trumpet, pay close attention now, the first trumpet could not be fulfilled until after the kingdom was divided into thirds.
Okay?
Remember, history and prophecy have to agree. They have to go together. So we're looking for the first trumpet to find its fulfillment sometime after 330 AD. Some type of battle and war, hail, battle and war after 330 AD that affects Western Rome.
La guerra representando al granizo tiene que venir después del año 300.
From the cold areas of the north they came.
Del norte tenía que venir.
Now let's get into this. This only has a few slides in the first presentation. I want to just read what this says right here for those of you who are Seventh-day Adventists. Review and Herald, April 14, 1903. Are we futurists or historicists?
¿Somos nosotros historicistas o futuristas?
The warning has come. Nothing is to be allowed. How much? Nothing, you know, nothing means nothing, you know that. Nothing is to be allowed that will to come in that will disturb the foundation of the faith upon which we have been building ever since the message came in 1842, 1843, and 1844. Does anyone know what happened in 1842?
¿Saben qué pasó en 1842?
The publication of that chart back there by Charles Fitch and Apollos Hale and Joshua V. Himes. The 1843 prophetic chart was published in May of 1842.
La gráfica de 1842 fue publicada en ese tiempo.
Which means that whether you like it or not, this is part of the foundation of our faith Amen.
Esto es parte de la fundación de la fe.
And people don't, I don't understand why people claim to be part of our church and don't like our foundations. Why don't you leave and start your own church? Why mess up our church?
Yo no sé por qué la gente viene y quiere quebrantar la iglesia. Mejor vayan y hagan su propia iglesia afuera.
I was in this mess. And by the way, for those who call themselves historic Adventists, you know, I've met people who say, I'm an historic Adventist.
Para aquellos que dicen, soy un adventista historicista.
And yet they don't believe in the historic charts, or the historic foundations of what we believe.
No,
you know?
No creen en las profecías de la gráfica.
I'm not going to get into that anymore. I was in this message, and ever since I have been standing before the world true to the light that God has given us. We do not propose, and by the grace of God, I do not propose, friends, to take our feet off the platform on which they were placed as day by day we sought the Lord with earnest prayer, seeking for light. Do you think that I could give up the light that God has given me? It is to be as Christ. Isn't that the Rock of Ages? It is to be as the Rock of Ages. It has been guiding me ever since it was given. As early as 1842, the direction given in this prophecy, the prophecy of Habakkuk chapter 2, to write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it, had suggested to Charles Fitch the preparation of a prophetic chart to illustrate the visions of Daniel and the Revelation. The publication of this chart was regarded as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It is a fulfillment of the command given by Habakkuk. Many people are trying to contradict Bible prophecy and say that there's something. Well, that was good for them back then, but no longer anymore. We believe in, we're a progressive church, I guess. And there it is. The book of Daniel is unsealed in the revelation of John. In May of 1842, a general conference was convened in Boston, Massachusetts. At the opening of this meeting, brethren Charles Fitch and Apollos Hale of Haverville presented the pictorial prophecies of Daniel and John, which they had painted on cloth with the prophetic numbers showing their fulfillment. And what does Joseph Bates say? He says, here was more light in our pathway. These brethren had been doing what the Lord had shown Habakkuk in his vision 2,468 years before. That's pretty impressive. Saying, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Make it very clear, very easy to understand. These prophetic charts are a fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Okay? Atrás es el cumplimiento de profecía.
When you read Habakkuk chapter 2, it says Habakkuk was told by God to make the vision plain upon tables, plural.
En Habakkuk capítulo 2 habla del cumplimiento que se tenía que escribir sobre dos tablas.
And there they are. There's the tables of prophecy.
Aquí están las tablas de la profecía.
That represent the foundation of our faith.
Representando la fundación de nuestra fe.
Seen that the 1843 chart was directed by the hand of Charles Fitch and that it had many mistakes in there. And we have new light today. And that was good for them, but no longer anymore. Is that what it says?
Nope.
I have seen that the 1843 chart was directed by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and that it should not be altered, that the figures were as he wanted them, that his hand was over and hid a mistake singular. In some of the figures, so that none could see it until his hand was removed, the mistake was that it said 1843 rather than 1844.
El error que había era la fecha del 43, no el 44. Eso fue el único error dentro de esta profecía.
So based upon those quotations, we recognize that these charts were directed by God's hand. Amen?
Que esto fue dirigido por la mano.
Yes or no?
Señor,
yes.
Acuerdo a lo que leímos
okay.
Aquí.
Can we at least agree on that one quote? Yes. It's directed by the hand of the Lord. Amen?
La cita lo dice.
That this was a fulfillment of prophecy.
Esto fue el cumplimiento de la profecía de Habacuc 2.
This represented the foundation of the faith.
La fundación de nuestra fe.
So what did they believe the seven trumpets were?
¿Qué creían que eran las siete trompetas?
You notice they have the seven part of the seven trumpets right here on both charts, the bottom right-hand corner here, and over here on the 1850 chart, it takes up almost the entire right-hand column.
Ahí vemos las trompetas que ellos entendían también, las trompetas que hablamos.
And it actually says right here, for example, the fifth angel sounded, that's the trumpet, the sixth angel sounded.
El quinto ángel sonó la trompeta.
Now what they're specifically focusing on is the last, they're specifically focusing on the first two woes.
Ellos se enfocan en los primeros dos ayes.
And I want you to notice what they believed.
Y quiero que vean lo que ellos creían, los pioneros, los fundadores.
It says Mahometans or Muslims.
Habla de los mahometanos o musulmanes.
You mean Islam is in Bible prophecy?
Preguntándome, ¿el Islam está en la profecía?
That's what we're going to look at today.
Lo que vamos a ver aquí.
So let's look at the first four trumpets.
Vamos a las primeras cuatro trompetas.
We're just going to go ahead and look at a book that was written by a Bible scholar named Uriah Smith. Just to make this short today, this morning.
Vamos a ver un erudito que escribió este libro.
Before I do that, let me read from William Miller's works, volume 2, pages 115 and 116. Notice what this says. Okay. In prophetical scripture, the sounding of a trumpet is always used to denote the downfall of some empire, nation, or place, or some dreadful battle. That we've been learning so far?
Yes.
Okay. Which may decide the fate of empires, nations, or places. Why don't you go ahead and translate that first sentence, please?
En la profecía, el sonar de trompetas siempre tiene que ver o se relaciona con la caída de algún imperio o nación o algún lugar.
The last three trumpets will claim our attention in this discourse. Let's listen to this. The first four trumpets, having their accomplishment under Rome, pagan. The last three under Rome, papal. These three trumpets and three woes are a description of the judgments that God has sent and will send on this papal beast, the abomination of the whole earth. All right? I want to read what this says right here about the book Daniel Revelation. Everything that can be done should be done to circulate thoughts on Daniel and Revelation. I know of no other book that can take the place of this one. It is God's helping hand. So let's allow God's helping hand to help us out, all right?
Amen.
Now let's look at this. The very first one, we're looking for a battle, right? We're looking for a battle or a war.
Estamos buscando por una batalla, una guerra.
That took place sometime after 330 AD.
Que estamos buscando después de 300.
That affected pagan Rome in the west.
Que afectó Roma pagana en el este.
Pagans that came down from the cold climates of the north.
Los paganos que venían de la parte norte.
Daniel Revelation by Uriah Smith, page 476. Says this: the first sore and heavy judgment which fell upon Western Rome in its downward course was the war with the Goths under Alaric, who opened the way for later inroads. The death of Theodosius, the Roman emperor, occurred in January AD 395. And before the end of the winter, the Goths under Alaric were in arms against the empire. The blast at the first trumpet has its location about the close of the 4th century and onward, and refers to these desolating invasions of the Roman Empire under the Goths. So for your notes, like I said, we're going to move on quickly to get this first part done, because I want to focus on the last three woes. Alaric the Visigoth, 395 to 410 AD, we have the first trumpet, all right?
Alarico de los Ostrogodos se considera, o lo habla ahí como la primera trompeta, viniendo de la parte del norte.
So we have Alaric,
Alarico,
the Goth,
el Ostrogodo.
Let's move on. Revelation chapter 8, verse 8
Apocalipsis
and 9.
8, 9.
Now you'll notice that the first judgment took place upon the land, right?
Vemos que el primer juicio viene sobre la tierra, sobre la tierra en sí.
The second judgment takes place upon the sea.
El segundo juicio viene sobre el mar.
Now remember, what does a trumpet symbolize?
Acuérdense qué es lo que significa la trompeta.
Battles or war. So the first one's going to be a battle of war by land. The second one's going to be a battle of war by sea. All right?
La primera batalla es sobre la tierra y la otra es sobre el mar.
And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, what does it mean for a mountain to be cast into the sea?
¿Qué simboliza una montaña que es tirada sobre el mar?
Hold your finger there. Quickly, go to Jeremiah chapter 51.
Vamos a Jeremías capítulo 51 para ver esto.
Notice what the Bible says.
Vamos a ver lo que dice la Biblia.
Jeremiah chapter 51, we're going to read two verses here, verses 24 and 25.
Isaías 51, versículo 24 y 25.
And when you're there, please let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah 51, verses 24 and 25. And you may want to write down this note, friends. Well, let me give this scripture to you first. Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 24. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, verse 25, I am against thee, O destroying what? Now, who's God talking to right there? The kingdom of Babylon, right? And he says, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a what kind of mountain? A burnt mountain, or a mountain on fire. Are you with me? What was he talking about there? He was talking about the overthrow of the kingdom of Babylon. So write this down in your notes. That in Bible prophecy, in symbolism, a mountain, a beast, a horn,
un cuerno,
and also a head,
y una cabeza,
symbolize a kingdom.
Representa un reino.
Do you get that?
Okay, ¿lo entiendes?
Beast symbolizes a kingdom.
Una bestia, un reino.
Horn symbolizes king or kingdom or strength or power.
Un cuerno representa un reino.
The head, the seven heads of Revelation 17, those kingdoms.
Las cabezas representan reinos.
And also a mountain represents a kingdom.
Y también una montaña, un reino.
Does God have a mountain?
Dios tiene una montaña, ¿sí o no?
Yes.
Mount Zion,
Monte de Sion,
the glorious holy mountain. The stone became a great mountain. A mountain symbolizes a kingdom, right?
Montaña representa un reino también.
And so this mountain in Revelation 8 is a kingdom that is being burned or a kingdom being destroyed. Are you with me?
Esta montaña que se le avienta a la tierra.
By battles of the sea.
Es una guerra en el mar.
So is this a fulfillment of prophecy?
¿Es esto un cumplimiento de la profecía?
Were there people that ransacked Rome by sea, burning and looting Rome and bringing the kingdom down?
¿Había un reino que despojó y saqueó a Roma en ese tiempo?
The sounding of the second trumpet evidently relates to the invasion and conquest of Africa and afterward of Italy by Genseric, king of the Vandals. Now look at what this says. His conquests were for the most part, what? Naval, which means that's by sea or by ship. And his triumphs were, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. His career reached its height between the years of 428 and 468 AD. So write this down, friends. We're almost done. Genseric the Vandal, 428 AD to 468, the second trumpet.
Genseric de los Vándalos del 428 a 468. Llena la segunda trompeta.
Genseric the Vandal.
Genserico el Vándalo.
You know that today in English we still use that word.
Hoy en día todavía usamos ese nombre.
To symbolize destruction and loot, all sorts of crime. It's called vandalism.
El vandalismo, que viene también de ahí de esa palabra de los vándalos del norte.
Now let's go to the third. We have two more trumpets and then we're done with part one. Let's go now to verse 10.
Vamos al versículo 10 de Apocalipsis 8.
Revelation 8, verse 10.
Apocalipsis 8, versículo 10.
And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now let me explain something very quickly. Some people believe that this is an asteroid that's supposed to hit planet Earth in 2012 when the Mayan calendar runs out. Now that sounds really good and makes for a lot of movies. But in the Bible, in prophecy,
en la Biblia, en profecía,
a star,
una estrella,
symbolizes an angel,
simboliza un ángel,
or a messenger,
o un mensajero,
or some type of leader.
O algún tipo de...
Look at Revelation chapter 1 very quickly.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 1.
And I'm just going to give you a few scriptures for you to write down or to remember so you can study them later.
Que escriban las escrituras, ¿de acuerdo?
Revelation chapter 1 verse 20.
Apocalipsis 1, versículo
20. When you're there, please let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
Si están ahí, digan amen.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20,
Apocalipsis 1, versículo 20,
the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden angels, seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are what? The angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. Now, if you look at the next verse, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now let me ask you a question.
Una pregunta para ustedes.
When you look at all seven churches,
cuando ven a todas las siete iglesias,
they start out the same way.
Empiezan de la misma manera.
Jesus says, write these things to the angel of that church.
Cristo dice, escribe estas cosas al ángel.
What is the Lord asking John to do? Is he asking him to deliver a book to a literal angel that is hovering over that church? The Greek word for angel is angelos, which means a messenger.
La palabra ángel en el griego significa mensajero.
So what's another name for the messengers of the churches? Who are the ones preaching the messages in the churches?
¿Quiénes son los que están predicando el mensaje en la iglesia?
These are the pastors, or the elders, or the leaders of the churches. So listen closely, because this will come into play when we talk about the woes later on today.
Escúchelo porque esto va a hacer mucho sentido cuando hablemos de los.
Is that when you see a star?
Cuando veas una estrella, cuando
this vas, represents a messenger or a leader.
Un mensajero o un líder.
Either a good one or a bad one.
Ya sea un bueno o malo.
For example,
por ejemplo,
how many of you remember that story in the Old Testament where David was going to battle with the Philistines?
¿Cuántos acuerdan?
How many remember that?
David fue a la batalla contra los filisteos.
Remember that?
¿Recuerdan?
He was estranged from King Saul. And he was going to go to battle with the Philistines.
Y él iba, de hecho, a pelear con los filisteos.
And the lord of the Philistines came to the king.
Y el rey de los filisteos vino a Daniel.
And they said, hey, this guy's not going with us to battle.
Él right? No va a ir con nosotros a pelear contra los.
And the king said, why? He's a good guy.
Y le dijeron, ¿por qué? Él es un buen muchacho.
He said, look, this guy's going to turn around and kill us.
Él se va a voltear y nos va a matar también.
Don't you remember the song, Saul has killed his thousands and David's killed his ten thousands?
¿No te acuerdas de la canción que David mató a sus mil y Saúl a sus mil?
And the king went back to David and he said, the lord of the Philistines won't let you go. The lord of the Philistines won't let you go.
Dice, el Señor de los Filisteos no te va a dejar ir con nosotros a
pelear. And David asked, why? What have I done? You all remember that story, right?
¿Por qué?
And the king said, you have been as an angel of God.
Y él le dijo, porque tú has sido como un ángel.
Does that mean that David had wings and he flew around?
Significando que David tenía alas.
David was a leader.
David era un líder.
He was a king.
Era un rey.
He was a messenger. What about Paul? Remember Paul, I think it was in the book of Galatians, said, you have received me as an angel of God. Did Paul have wings? Or was Paul a messenger? Was Paul a leader? So when you come to Revelation chapter 8, this star that works destruction is a leader that was working destruction upon pagan Rome.
Cuando llegamos a Apocalipsis 8, cuando hablamos de la estrella que cae,
and you go back and read history. Edward Gibbon's decline and fall of the Roman Empire.
El levantamiento y el declive de
he calls this man Wormwood in his history.
En su libro él le llama ajenjo también.
That he brought bitterness among the kingdom of Rome. In the interpretation and application of this passage, we are brought to the third important event, which resulted in the subversion on the Roman Empire. It is here premised that this trumpet has allusion to the desolating and furious invasions of Attila, king of the Huns, against the Roman Empire, the Roman power. And so the third trumpet would be this leader that worked bitterness upon Rome, which was Attila the Hun, 429 to 451.
La tercera trompeta se le denomina Attila el Uno.
You know that
Attila
the Hun called himself, he said that he was of the lineage of Nimrod. And there was a legend that said wherever Attila's horse trod, the grass never grew.
Tenía un dicho que donde sea que los caballos caminaban de él,
and this pompous man died an excruciating death. He choked to death upon his own blood. His jugular vein exploded one night.
Y este hombre murió de una muerte terrible. Su yugular se reventó y murió ahogado por su propia sangre.
So down to 451 AD, we have Attila and the Huns.
Se llamaba él mismo el azote de Dios.
One more to go.
Uno más. Eres la tercera trompeta.
Revelation chapter 8, we go now to the fourth angel, the fourth trumpet.
La cuarta trompeta, Apocalipsis 8.
And we now look at verse 12.
Versículo 12.
And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now we look at this symbolism of the sun, moon, and stars.
Y hablando de este simbolismo del sol, la luna y las estrellas.
Are the sun, moon, and stars used in symbol in other parts of the Bible?
Yes. El sol, la luna y las estrellas se utiliza en otras partes como simbolismo también? Sí.
Yes or no?
Sí o no?
Where?
¿Dónde?
Where do we see the sun, moon, and stars symbolized in Scripture?
¿Dónde los vemos utilizándolos también al sol, la luna y las estrellas también?
And what do they symbolize? Well, we just talk about stars. What do stars symbolize?
¿Qué simboliza una estrella? Hablamos de eso.
Angels, messengers, or sometimes leaders, right? Leadership.
Un dirigente.
We see Revelation chapter 12, woman with the sun, moon, and stars.
Apocalipsis
right?
12, vemos la mujer con la estrella y con la luna debajo de sus pies.
Does the sun symbolize a leader as well? Who does the sun represent in Scripture?
El sol en sí?
Christ.
A Cristo también.
Malachi chapter 4, he's called the Son of Righteousness, right?
En Malaquías 4, él se llama el Sol de Justicia.
So sun, moon, and stars represents leadership. Now, how many of you remember this dream? Go to Genesis chapter 37.
Vamos a Génesis capítulo 37 para ver este sueño también.
And we're about done now. Genesis 37.
Génesis 37.
The Bible says, so we only have one more scripture after this one. Genesis 37, the Bible says this as we look at verse 9 and 10.
Génesis 37, versículo 9 y 10.
How many of you remember the story of Joseph?
¿Cuántos acuerdan de la historia de José?
Joseph had some dreams.
José tuvo un sueño.
One time he had a dream out in the field that his sheaf stood up and all the other sheaves bowed down, right?
Él tuvo un sueño de que sus racimos crecían más que los de sus hermanos.
And his brothers got jealous. They understood the symbolism that they would one day bow down to their brother, their younger brother.
Y ellos entendieron el simbolismo de que él algún día va a ser más grande que ellos.
And then he had another dream.
Y tuvo otro sueño.
And verse 9, notice what the Bible says, Genesis 37, verse 9.
Capítulo 37, versículo 9.
The Bible says in verse 9, are we all there? Amen. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the what? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Now notice how Jacob interprets his dream. He says, shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Now wait a minute. Did Jacob ever have dreams in his life? Yes or no?
Yes.
He had several dreams. The very first one was that ladder that went from heaven to earth, right? So you think that Jacob might know a little bit about dreams and Bible symbolism? And when Jacob interpreted the dream, he recognized that the sun, moon, and stars represented the leadership of the home.
Reconoció que el sol, la luna y las estrellas representan
al
líder de la casa.
Your mother and your brethren bow down to you.
Dice, yo, tu mamá y los hermanos nos vamos a inclinar ante ti.
In Revelation chapter 8, let's go there now as we close, wrap this up.
En Apocalipsis 8, antes de terminar.
What kingdom is being affected during the first four trumpets?
¿Qué reino está afectando bajo las cuatro trompetas?
Pagan Rome where?
Roma pagana.
In the west primarily. Now, was there leadership in the Western Empire represented by the sun, moon, and stars? You know that Rome was divided, had a three-tiered political system. There was the emperorship, the senate, and also the consul.
En Roma había el emperador, el senado y el consejo.
Who do you think the sun represented?
¿Quién creen que representaba el sol?
Who called himself the son of the sun god back then? Was the emperor.
El sol, el
so the
tiempo.
Under this trumpet we would find the sun, moon, and stars smitten, that is the Roman Senate, consul, and emperorship taken away in the West.
Representando el emperador, el senado, y el consejero quitados.
Our final trumpet, we understand that this trumpet symbolizes the career of Odoacer, king of the Heruli, the first barbarian ruler of Italy, who was so intimately connected with the downfall of Western Rome. The symbols, sun, moon, and stars, for they are undoubtedly here used as symbols, evidently denote the great luminaries of the Roman government, its emperors, senators, and consuls. Western Rome fell in what year?
¿Qué año cayó Roma, dice ahí?
476 AD.
Bajo Odoacer de los
Érulos. Odoacer the herald from 451 to 476, the fourth trumpet brings us to the close of our first talk.
Eso es el final de la plática, pero en sí es la cuarta trompeta que hace la caída de Roma, en el este, en el oeste, perdón.
Odoacer the herald.
Odoacer el Érulo.
By the year 476 AD.
En el año 476 después de Cristo.
Western Rome had become vacated by the emperor.
Por ese año, Roma en el oeste dejó de tener un emperador.
And now between 476 AD
y entre el año 476
and 538 AD,
y en el año 538,
there was now a war between paganism and the new rising power of the papacy of who would control that city. Now that's a different topic for a different time.
Eso es otro tema para otro tema.
But just to give you a very quick crash course history lesson.
Pero para darles algo rápido, una historia rápida.
By the year 508, the last of the pagans had been converted to Roman Catholicism or destroyed.
Para el año 508, el último de los emperadores se había convertido al papado.
I'm going to have you come over here just a little bit. By the year 508, that had also started two other time prophecies, the 1290, the 1335 prophecy in the year 508.
En el año 508 empezaba también otras profecías del 1290 y 1335.
The 1290 prophecy of Daniel chapter 12 verse 11 had terminated by 1798.
La profecía de los 1200 años, 1290 de Daniel 12:12 se había terminado en 1798.
And the 1335 time prophecy of Daniel 12:12 terminated in 1843.
Y la profecía de 1335 de Daniel 12:11 terminó en 1800.
And when you read that verse, it says that there would be a blessing upon those who would wait, those who would tarry during that time.
Y iba a haber una bendición para aquellos que iban a esperar hasta ese tiempo.
By the year 538, the papacy had taken full control of the capital of Rome.
Para el año 538, el papado tomó la posesión de la.
And we already talked about that when Belisarius pushed the Ostrogoths out. That was when the papacy received his power as seat during that year in great authority.
Para el año 538, por el general Belisario conquistó Roma y se le dio el poder, la autoridad y el asiento también.
So now, in our just to lay a foundation for our next lecture when we come back.
Para poner la fundación para la siguiente lección.
By the year 538. You have the papacy ruling the world
empezando a reinar el mundo
until 1798,
hasta el año 1798
in the west.
En el oeste.
And you still have the pagan power of Rome with an emperor
y todavía tenemos a la parte occidental de Roma con un emperador
in the city of Constantinople in the east.
En la parte occidental de Constantinopla, en la ciudad de Constantinopla.
In our next couple lectures, we're now going to discuss in our next lectures the woes.
En la próxima lección vamos a estudiar los ais,
which describes the power of Islam bringing down Rome.
Que describe el poder del Islam que hace que colapse Roma en el este.
Let's close out our study by reading our last verse, Revelation 8, verse 13.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 8, versículo 13.
Revelation 8:13, we'll close out our Sabbath school.
8:13, terminamos la escuela sabática.
The Bible says, are we all there, friends? Amen. Revelation 8:13.
Apocalipsis 8:13.
Are we all there, friends? Amen. And I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. When we come back in our next lecture, we'll discuss the last three trumpets and the three woes and Islam in prophecy.
Para la próxima lección que vamos a tener, vamos a hablar de los tres ais, del papel del Islam en la profecía.
How many of you have understood this so far?
¿Cuántos han entendido esto que hablamos?
Why don't we close out by sharing a word of prayer?
Vamos a terminar con una oración.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for the Sabbath school hour. We thank you for the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This morning we ask and pray that you would allow the day star, Jesus Christ, to rise in our hearts.
Para que Cristo, la estrella de la mañana, brille en nuestro corazón.
We recognize that you have fulfilled your word to the very letter.
Reconocemos que tú has cumplido tu palabra al punto, a la letra.
And today, Lord, many are interested to find out how Islam fits into prophecy.
Y muchos hoy están interesados en entender el papel del Islam en la profecía.
I ask and pray that you would continue to please pour out your Holy Spirit in early and latter rain power upon us this Sabbath.
Y te pedimos que tu Espíritu venga a nosotros en las lluvias tempranas y tardías en este sábado.
And please help to open every mind to understand Scripture today.
Y abre todas las mentes aquí para entender las profecías.
Fill this place with angels, we pray, holy angels, we pray.
Pedimos que mandes a tus ángeles para que estén aquí en esta mañana.
And we thank you for the promise to hear and answer prayer.
Y te damos gracias por contestar las oraciones.
For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Te damos gracias en el nombre de Jesucristo, amen.
Amen. Okay.
Vamos a tener...
We have somebody coming up?
We're going to have... specials in this morning, and we're going to have also the offering as well. So we have the basket here for the offering also.